It is indeed a pleasure, no, indeed an honor to be here with you folks this night. It has been a long time since I have stood behind this sacred desk. And I feel that I do truly need your prayers. This first song that we sang, "Come ye that love the Lord, and let your joys be known. Join in the song with sweet accord." Join in a song with sweet accord, and thus surround the throne. And thus surround the throne. Why? The verse or refrain of this song says, "We are marching to Zion." Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Brothers and sisters, we have been on this road of marching to Zion for some 162 years or more. We haven't reached it. And sometimes I wonder why. And then tonight I'm going to endeavor to see why, or see if we can find out why. But before I do, I want to read you another little note that I found in a paper. I read this morning at our preaching service also, but it is good for all of us. And it goes like this. Like Adam and Eve, the Reverend George Hall noted last Sunday, we would all get along much better if we learned to follow direction. I want to pause on that and let you absorb that for a while. We could all get along a little better if we learned to follow direction. Brothers and sisters, in these books I have with me, on this desk with me, gives us that direction how that we can obtain Zion. If we will listen to it and follow it. To begin with, I'd like to take you to the 6th chapter of Jeremiah. And read a few things from that chapter. I'm going to read from the 16th to the 20th verses. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way, and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein. And ye shall find rest to your souls. But I'm afraid that our answer has been just like they answered back there. For it says, but they said, we will not walk therein. I am reading from what is called the Inspired Translation. And the reason I'm using it is because there are some things I want to bring out this evening that can't be found anywhere else. But to go on with this reading, the 17th verse says, also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. I can remember in years past when the watchmen that God had called and had been called on to their reward trumpeted Zion. Every one of them. But I'm afraid, brothers and sisters, we have answered with the same answer that these people gave back there when the Lord spoke this through Jeremiah. For it says, but they said, we will not hearken. If this is the case, and I am sure it is, we had better take a good look at ourselves. We had better get before a plain mirror and look at ourselves and see if we can find out why we haven't hearkened to the voice of the Lord. But then the Lord goes on to say in the 18th verse, therefore hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth. Behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. Let's take a good look at ourselves and see whether we have hearkened unto his words and unto his law. Because I can read in Latter-day Revelations where it said that was given in 18 and 33, where it said that if the churches that call themselves after my name had hearkened unto my law and my commandments, Zion could have been redeemed even then. That was just 3 years after the church was restored that the Lord told us that. And if we will hearken to it and repent and return unto him with full purpose of heart, it wouldn't take about that long until we could be in a condition that we could redeem Zion. But to go on, the 20th verse, to what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba, and the sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. And why isn't our sacrifices sweet unto him? What was it that he told us that he required of us for a sacrifice in these last days? He said that in the Book of Mormon, he said that what he required, he didn't want burnt offerings anymore, but he wanted a sacrifice of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. We can't have a broken heart and a contrite spirit if we are of a notion to say, but we will not hearken to the voice of the Lord. And we will not hearken to the voice of the trumpet of the watchman. Who are we going to hearken to then? Let me take you to some of the things that he told the early leaders of the church, yeah, even before the church was restored. And go to the Book of Commandments. The first one is found in the 5th chapter of the Book of Commandments in the 3rd verse. And this was given to Oliver Cowdery, April 1829. He says, and now as you have asked. Evidently, Oliver had asked the Lord what he should do to serve him. And I think it's necessary for us today to repent and begin to get down on our knees and ask the Lord what we should do to bring about a Zionic condition. He said, now as you have asked, behold, I say unto you, keep my commandments, and seek to bring forth and establish the cause of Zion. Seek not for riches, but for wisdom. And behold, the mysteries of God shall be unfolded unto you, and then shall you be made rich. Behold, he that hath eternal life is rich. There were three other men that the Lord spoke that way to. No, I'll take that back. There was two other men that he spoke those same words to. But the fourth one he spoke a little different to. And that is found in the 12th chapter of the Book of Commandments. And that was spoken to David Whitmer in June of 1829. That's in the 12th chapter and the 3rd verse. He says, "Seek to bring forth and establish my Zion. Keep my commandments in all things, and if you keep my commandments and endure to the end, you shall have eternal life, which gift is the greatest of all the gifts of God." What is it that it says in the Book of Mormon? On page 37, the first book of Nephi, chapter 3, the 187th and 188th verses. "And blessed are they who shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day," speaking of the last day, "for they shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost." Can we truly say that we have the gift and power of the Holy Ghost? But the 188th verse says, "And if they endure unto the end, they shall be lifted up at the last day, and shall be saved in the everlasting kingdom of the Lamb." Isn't that what we're looking for? Let me turn to Malachi and see what the Lord says there. Malachi, the 3rd chapter, in the 5th verse, beginning with the 5th verse. "And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against the false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear me not, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Well, you might say, well, we're not the sons of Jacob. Don't think that. Because we are descendants of Jacob through Joseph that was sold into Egypt. If the Lord would condescend to tell us, we are Ephraimites, descendants of Ephraim. But then he goes on to say, "Even from the days of your fathers you have gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return?" Well, maybe I can give you an answer if you'll accept it. The way to return is to get down in humility and ask our Father for forgiveness for our wandering off from the path that He gave us to walk in. Ask Him to forgive us for not truly believing the direction that He had given us, that we might establish Zion. That we have gotten out of the old paths, as Jeremiah said, "Wherein is a good way that we might find rest to our souls." I want to take you to something that is found in the Doctrine and Covenants. And of course, I realize that there has been many changes made in this, in some of them. But that which is true is just as valid as the day that it was given, even though man had put some changes in it. The 81st section, I want to read you three paragraphs of it. He says, "Verily I say unto you, my servants, that inasmuch as you have forgiven one another your trespasses, even so I, the Lord, forgive you. Nevertheless, there are those among you who have sinned exceedingly. Yea, even all of you have sinned. But verily I say unto you, beware from henceforth and refrain from sin, lest sore judgments fall upon your heads. For unto whom much is given, much is required. And he who sins against the greater light shall receive the greater condemnation." We have proclaimed, or tried to proclaim to the world, that we had the greater light. But we haven't accomplished a thing. The people of the world can't see that we're any different from any of the other churches of the world. Only that we gather and have services, and so do they. Well, to go on with the reading. "Ye call upon my name for revelations, and I give them unto you. And inasmuch as you keep not my sayings, which I give unto you, ye become transgressors, and justice and judgment is the penalty which is affixed unto my law. Therefore, what I say unto one, I say unto all. Watch, for the adversary spreadeth his dominions, and darkness reigneth, and the anger of God kindleth against the inhabitants of the earth, and none doeth good. For all have gone out of the way." That would include us. Because we haven't done the things that God has said for us to do. "Now verily I say unto you, I, the Lord, will not lay any sin to your charge. Go your ways and sin no more. But unto that soul who sinneth shall the former sins return, saith the Lord your God. And again I say unto you, I give unto you a new commandment, that you may understand my will concerning you, or in other words, I give unto you directions, how you may act before me, that it may turn to you for your salvation. And now hear this. He says, for I, the Lord, am bound when you do what I say. But when you do not what I say, you have no promise. Well, what has the Lord promised? What he says to one people, he says to all. I would like to read to you something out of Deuteronomy, in the 28th chapter. The promises that he gave to those people back there, and they are just as valid unto you and I now as they were then. And he says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe," notice, "to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. And blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shalt be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord will cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee and thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God shall give thee, in which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give her rain, give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If, there's that little word if again. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I give thee this day, to observe and to do them. But there's another thing. You go down and read, and I would ask you to take and read that chapter. When you, not when you can, but when you go home tonight, and read the rest of it, and see the cursing that is on the other side for not keeping his commandments. And then look at the history of this restoration movement and tell me if we have not received the cursing instead of the blessing. And again, in Jeremiah 3:11-15, no, in Jeremiah 3, I'm sorry, I turned to this is some more of the Lord's rebuking his people. Jeremiah 3:11-15. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than the treacherous Judah. Maybe I should turn to the 13th chapter of the third book of Nephi and read to you what Israel is. No, the 14th chapter of 3 Nephi on page 681. There are just three verses in that chapter. And it says, hearken, O ye Gentiles, and hear the words of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, which he hath commanded me that I should speak concerning you. For behold, he commandeth me that I should speak, I should write, saying, turn, all ye Gentiles, from your wicked ways, and repent of your evil doings, of your lyings and deceivings, and of your whoredoms, and of your secret abominations, and your idolatries, and your murders, and your priestcrafts, and your envyings, and your strifes, and from all of your wickedness and abominations. And come unto me, and be baptized in my name, that you may receive a remission of your sins, and be filled with the Holy Ghost, that you may be numbered with my people who are of the house of Israel. This is what he's speaking to. Israel, backsliding Israel. And each one of us, when we went through the waters of baptism, we made that promise to the Lord that we would believe all of his commandments and be willing to take upon us the name of his Son and keep all of his commandments. Have we kept them? We haven't got Zion. Then it says to through the prophet Jeremiah, go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and will bring you to Zion, and will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Do we want this? Sufficient that we will repent and return unto the Lord with full purpose of heart? There are other promises that he has made to us. And I would like to read one of them. And again, go to the Doctrine and Covenants, section 100. For verily I believe that this is of the Lord. I want to read two paragraphs. And he says, this was given in February 24th, 1834, at Kirtland, Ohio. He says, verily I say unto you, my friends, behold, I will give unto you a revelation and commandment that you may know how to act in the discharge of your duties concerning the redemption, concerning the salvation and redemption of your brethren who have been scattered on the land of Zion, being driven and smitten by the hands of mine enemies, on whom I will pour out my wrath without measure in mine own time. For I have suffered them thus far, that they might fill up the measure of their iniquities, that their cup might be full, and that those who call themselves after my name might be chastened for a little season with a sore and grievous chastisement. Because they did not hearken altogether unto the precepts and commandments which I gave unto them. Then he says, but verily I say unto you that I have decreed a decree. Notice, he has decreed a decree. And when our God decrees something, he doesn't change. I have decreed a decree which my people shall realize, inasmuch as they hearken from this very hour unto the counsel which I, the Lord their God, shall give unto them. And I think that is just as valid today as it was the day it was spoken. If we will begin to hearken unto the voice of our Lord, our God, even at this very hour, if we will repent and return unto him, he will fulfill the promises that are written in this book. For he says, behold, they shall. Read it. Begin to prevail against mine enemies from this very hour, and by hearkening to observe all the words which I, the Lord their God, shall speak unto them, they shall never cease to prevail until the kingdoms of the world are subdued under my feet, and the earth is given unto the saints to possess it forever and ever. Is that what we want? Are we ready then to come down in humility and return unto the Lord with full purpose of heart and begin to study out these things that He has directed us to do, that we might obtain to a Zion, and begin to fulfill His words. If we are, then we can expect a blessing like this. But if we aren't, we can expect a cursing. Because the next paragraph of this verse says, "But inasmuch as they keep not my commandments, and hearken not to observe all my words, the kingdoms of the world shall prevail against them. For they were set to be a light unto the world, and to be the saviors of men." Who was set to be that? We were set to be that, if you can truly believe it. We were set to be that. We were set to be a light unto the world and to be the saviors of men. Because we would be willing to teach the commandments of God, we would be willing to live the commandments of God so they could see that we were, and they would believe it. But then he says, "And inasmuch as they are not the saviors of men, they are a salt that has lost its savor, and is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of man." Now I'd like to take and read to you a revelation that was given through T.J. Jordan. January 5th, 1957. He says, "Son of man, write unto my children gathered in the regions around my Zion," in the regions around the land of Zion, if you please, "For thus speaketh he whom ye call Lord and Savior, Jesus." Owing to the conditions that have prevailed, lo, these many days, you must be counseled if you would be my children in very deed. You have followed in many ways the traditions of men. For of a truth, your ways have not been my ways, nor your thoughts my thoughts. And I must needs admonish you to repent. Repent ye, and turn unto me and live. Can ye not discern the times in which you live? Can ye not see that I have set my hand to gather my covenant people from all lands back to their land of inheritance, yea, and from lands unknown to you? For even at this day I am preparing my children, whom you know not where they are, but they are known unto me, and ere long they shall be returned unto their inheritance, and be joined with those who have already returned. United people. Therefore, be admonished to repent of your errors and return to the old paths, wherein is the good way, that I may direct you from time to time, ere Zion can be redeemed. Follow not the precepts and devices of men, but hearken unto my voice, as I have directed, and rely upon the things I have commanded, which are in your possession." And we have them, if we will just rely on them and strive to live by them, and the Lord will help us. He says, "Go ye then to my word which is before you, keep all my commandments, walk in my way, that you may enter the straight gate, that your feet may be found in the narrow way, which leadeth to the tree of life, which is in me, saith the Lord. Give heed to my counsel, keep my commandments, and when thus you return from the error of your ways, I will return unto you and be in your midst by the power of my Spirit, and then, and only then, will I hearken to your pleadings and prayers before me. Be admonished that I may yet honor you as my children in very deed. Of a truth, it has been said, to obey is better than sacrifice. Be ye not rebellious and say, as has been said, wherein have we stepped aside? Wherein have we not obeyed thy counsel? For of a truth, you have followed in the error of your own hearts and sought to counsel me. At the appointed time, all my words shall be fulfilled, and the hands or devices of men cannot stay my words, for they shall not return unto me void. And he says, thus I have been commanded to write, even so, amen. And it's signed T.J. Jordan. Are we ready and willing to do the things that we have been instructed to do, both in the Scriptures, in Latter-day Revelation, yea, even in this? Are we willing then, even as I read to you from this little scrap of paper, are we ready to turn and begin and learn to follow directions? If we are, brothers and sisters, the Lord will be with us. And it will not be long until we can see that we are beginning to prosper in the things of the Lord. But it's not going to be easy, because we are like children. We want our own way. We want to do things our own way. Now I have two thoughts I want to bring to you. One of them is found in the 22nd chapter of Genesis. And this is the story of Abraham when he was commanded to take his only son and take him and sacrifice him to the Lord. You know the story, how that he took his son and took the wood and went up to the place that the Lord commanded him to go to do this. And this is what Isaac, his son, spake unto him. In the 8th chapter of the 8th verse of the 22nd chapter, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together and came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham said, here am I. And the angel said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, and neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only Isaac, from me. If we would move forth with that kind of faith, with that kind of a belief, the Lord could see, just like he did then, that we truly feared him, that we truly loved him also, and that we were willing to keep all of his commandments. This is the kind of service that the Lord wants. And then going back to the fourth chapter of Genesis, I want to show you what kind of faith our father Adam had. And this is what you will not get in any other Bible that I know of. The fourth chapter of Genesis, reading the fourth through the seventh verses. Says, "And Adam called upon the name of the Lord, and Eve also his wife. And they heard the voice of the Lord from the way towards the Garden of Eden, speaking unto them. And they saw him not, for they were shut out from his presence. And he gave unto them commandments that they should worship the Lord their God, and should offer the firstlings of their flocks for an offering unto the Lord. And Adam was obedient unto the commandments of the Lord, and after many days an angel of the Lord appeared unto Adam, saying, Why dost thou offer sacrifices unto the Lord? Now here's the answer that Adam gave. And Adam said unto him, I know not, save the Lord commanded me. He didn't question the Lord. He didn't look about for some other way to do it. But he went ahead and done what the Lord commanded, as the Lord commanded him. And what was the reason? The angel told him in the seventh verse. And then the angel spake, saying, This thing is a similitude of the sacrifice of the only begotten of the Father, which is full of grace and truth. You know, I heard a brother once say that we should be the healthiest. That we should be the healthiest people in the world. I believe that statement. Now I'm trying to tell you why. In Mark the 16th chapter, we have these words from Christ. The 16th chapter of Mark, beginning with the 13th verse, says, And after he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them who had seen him after he was risen. I wonder if he would come in our midst, if he wouldn't upbraid us for our unbelief. But then he said this unto them, and he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Now this last verse, the 21st verse, I want you to pay a particular attention to it. It says, And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. He would do the same thing for us today if we would believe like he wants us to. Again, I'm going to go to the Doctrine and Covenants, the 83rd verse, or paragraph. and read the 11th verse. Because it is the same promise that he gave to those back there in that day. He says, in my name they shall do many wonderful works. In my name they shall cast out devils. In my name they shall heal the sick. In my name they shall open the eyes of the blind and unstop the ears of the deaf. And the tongue of the dumb shall speak. And if any man shall administer poison unto them, it shall not hurt them. And the poison of a serpent shall not have power to harm them. But a commandment I give unto them, that they shall not boast themselves of these things, neither speak them before the world, for these things are given unto you for your profit and for salvation. And if we would begin to believe in God and in His directions He had given, as we should, these things would abound with us. And those around about would see that these things were happening. And they would want to come and find out why. I think I have said plenty. And I think that we should, as a unit, as a church, as a people, get down in humility before our Father in heaven and ask His forgiveness and return unto Him with full purpose of heart, that we might have the gift and power of the Holy Ghost working in us and through us and by us, that the people of the world could see that there is something different with this people. I thank you for your attention.